using Reverend Gwen Heen from Brisbane. So, Dr. To, please.
We have an unexpected visitor, and I have greatest joy in introducing Brother Heen Nguyen. To be simpler, to call him Brother Heen, H-I-E-N. Pronounce Heen in the French style, because he comes from Vietnam. And here he is to share with us. The Lord called him to the ministry in Brisbane, and that makes the 6th Bible Presbyterian Church in Australia. When you go to Australia, you have a BB Church in Perth, Melbourne 2, Adelaide 1, Sydney 1, and now Brisbane. So I call on Brother Heen, please come and just greet the people. He will not be speaking too much because his plane flies at 9 o'clock.
Greetings to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm very happy and honored to be here to say greetings to all of you on behalf of Brisbane Bible Presbyterian Church. We were very happy to have Dr. To San Hua coming to our church last September, and he conducted the Bible seminar on Noah's flood, and he preached the message at our church. We thank God that we have just finished our Berean BB church camp in Malaysia. And tonight we will fly back to Brisbane. Welcome to Brisbane, all of you brothers and sisters in the Lord. If God willing, you are very welcome. Because we do not have time, so I can't give my testimony to you. So I read two verses. The one is 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the second one is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. May God bless you, and welcome to Brisbane. Amen.
It's so good to have Brother Heen here. And in case you are going to Brisbane, you want to know how to get to his church, give a ring to our church office here. Ask for Jean. She will have the directions on how to find Brother Heen. Now please, oh yes, I have another surprise item. Dr. Sachs, whom I think many of you have heard here, years ago, he's been here 3 times now, and he sent this little message, which I think is a blessed thing to share with you. He says, dated 2nd of December, well, today, many thanks for your prayer support. My wife enjoyed an absolutely marvelous ministry in South Africa. They have been going to South Africa for something like over 30 years. And if you think I am old, he is 84. And still going strong. And every year he goes, he gets a call to go back. So listen. The Lord has allowed me to preach over 50 times during the time I was there. In addition to many personal interviews about spiritual matters. At every meeting, I was asked, will you come again next year? Isn't that great? The people there are hungering, thirsting for the word of life. Indeed, some have already phoned me after I came back to the United States. He lives in a place called Ann Arbor. Some of you know this is a university town. And he says, when are you coming again? We noted a hunger for expository preaching of the word, meaning to say, preaching from the Bible and not just out of your own head. By the way, everywhere I upheld the Reformers' text of Scripture as outlined in your booklet. I'm not sure what booklet it was, but he's using it. I want to thank you and Dr. Jeffrey Koo for Boswell's theology book, by the way. If you want the latest in systematic theology, understandable by lay people such as you and I, just drop me into the book room. It is available for you. And this is what Dr. Sachs is talking about. Also, for the regular delivery of your RPG, in case you have not been using it, again, it is recommended to help you have a regular, systematic reading through the Scriptures. While we had quite a time to contact and to find Mok Chi Chiong, that is the preacher in London from Life Church, we enjoyed a most delightful time with him and his wife, viewing the incredible choice building of the Bible Presbyterian Church in Queen's Park, London. In case you go to London, Queen's Park is the end of the Bakerloo line, the brown colour line. Take the train to the last station, get off, that's Queen's Park, walk down Salisbury Road, and there is our BP Church in London. I encourage Mok to evangelize the shops and the houses all around the church building. What a glorious privilege to be a light in the darkness of London. There we have a church that is shining for the gospel to those who are still in darkness. Praise the Lord for that. Bless the Lord for your good word about Elder Coe's ministry in Sydney. I told him that I had visited Sydney and they are doing well. Surely you pray for Dr. and Mrs. Ng Eng Kee as she suffers from lung cancer in her last days. As you can understand, we are slowly recovering from jet lag. Nonetheless, we have had some meetings and several personal contacts we take each day as from the Lord. At his age, at my age, at any age, every day with Jesus, count it a bonus day. Thank God. If he sustains your breath when you wake up in the morning, thank him. So this is what he says. And we make ourselves available to him wherever we are wanted. Again, grateful thanks for your friendship and fellowship of the gospel of our precious Lord. My wife joins me in assuring you and your dear wife. By the way, she is not well. She is at home just, I think, recovering from a touch of the flu with the rains that come so often nowadays. And be assured of our prayers as we gather daily around our kitchen table. As the shadows deepen, thank God we have the hope of His soon coming. Is that your hope, dear friends? Hold the fort until that day. Raymond Sachs. Thank God for him is such a challenge and example to us. 84, still jetting around the world and staying in South Africa 3 months at a time. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee for our Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to appreciate Thy goodness in sending servants around the world, those who man the fort in Australia, London, South Africa, around the world. Wherever they are, Lord, may Thou prosper their work, that in these closing days of the gospel age, all Your people may arise and hear this congregation, hearing this news of the last days, may awaken and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. This is our prayer. Open our ears and our hearts to the sound of Thy gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've written this morning in the weekly, some of you have read, how atheists try to destroy God. The latest film, I'm told, in town called The Golden Compass. I wonder how many of you have seen it, but it is in town. No, sorry, I think it's opening on the 6th, today is the 2nd, so watch out. This man called Pullman has conceived an idea that by this film he will help to destroy God. I say, amazing. If you don't believe there's a God, what is there to destroy? So he is trying to destroy God with his film called The Golden Compass. Years ago there was an astronomer, not astrologer, who gazes at stars and tells fortunes. An astronomer is a scientist who studies the stars. And Johannes Kepler was well known. He had a friend who he found very difficult. He's what we call a hard nut to crack. He steadfastly refused to believe that there is a God, that God created. To him, everything comes by chance. One day, Kepler made a scale model of the solar system like this. If this is the sun and 9 planets and Earth going around, and put it in his observatory, a beautiful scale model. His friend came in one day and said, "Wow, what a beautiful model of the solar system. Who made it?" Dr. Kepler smiled at him and said, "Oh, nobody. Just came by itself." "Oh, go on with you. Of course, that's nonsense." Dr. Kepler said to him, "Look, you said the beautiful solar system in space, so great, so wonderful, and you said nobody made it. And now you say this must have a maker. Do you get the message, dear friends? Everything has a maker. Everything you see has a maker. And those people who say no to God, you know what God says of them? In the Bible, there's very little about these people. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And those who do not believe God, in spite of the evidence, this is what God says of them. The things that are created are clearly seen. Yes? God shows it to them. All of us have seen. And those who see and then conclude they came by chance, no one created them, it says they end up as moral wrecks and derelicts, not knowing the way of life, and God says to them, you are without excuse. Because all the evidence is given to you. You look at anything, you can name it. There is a maker behind it. How about yourself, myself? you know, since the time we started this service till now, my heart has pumped a few thousand times, and through your lifetime it pumps a few million times. Your heart, that little pump. You know, you have a swimming pool, the pump breaks down if you don't service it from time to time. Do you go and service your heart from time to time? Who keeps your heart going, pumping 70 times a minute, 24 hours a day, non-stop all your life, and it pumps enough blood to fill four swimming pools, you know, in your lifetime? Amazing. And to say all this came by chance, that the heart can pump by chance. Dear friends, the greatest thing on earth, the greatest blessing on earth, is to know you have a Creator. This is the greatest thing. And now the second greatest thing, you know what? You guess. The second greatest thing is to make Him known to others. To tell others there is a Creator who not only created, but who saves us from our sins. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And there we will read what God has done for you and me. The very fact that you are sitting at this meeting is a testimony to God's great work in your life. Ephesians chapter 1, written by the Apostle Paul, whose testimony we read by the chairman before the King Agrippa, as he gave his defense. You know, the Jews were sending him to Rome to face his death sentence, which he did. But Paul never gave up at any time in his life to testify to the grace of God, how God saved him, a sinner. Now, being saved, it is the greatest joy to save others, and the book of Ephesians is that message to you and me. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints here at Pandan Gardens. Yes, appropriate it to yourselves. This is God speaking to you. How wonderful. What a privilege that God has condescended to send you a message tonight through this book of Ephesians. Verse 2. Grace be to you. The unmerited favor and special goodness and blessing of God is to you. And peace at this time of Christmas is the season of peace. The thing we need most at any age, when you have life, is to have peace. Without peace, life is not worth living, and God is the author of peace. Peace comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. For Jesus Christ came as His only begotten Son for you and for me. So here Paul acknowledges this, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, now here we enter into deep theology. Mystery of mysteries. How come you are sitting here believing in a person you have never seen, Jesus Christ, and serving and worshipping Him because you love Him, and yet you have never seen Him? How come all this have happened, and that you are assured you have a place in the heavenly kingdom that God has prepared for all them who believe in Him? How come? Verse 4. Because He hath chosen you in Him before the foundation of the world. You see how sad those atheists go out of their way to kill God. This is what they say. Folly of follies. The great Creator who loves you, and you as an atheist says, I will want to kill God. But no, God is not that easy for atheists to dismiss. But here He is, full of love for you and for me. I read again. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before Him in love, and sitting in this place of worship, place of prayer today in 2007, December the 2nd. How did it happen? It says because God chose you. You did not choose God. But He in His omniscient and His omnipotent power looked down and chose you, that you one day heard the gospel and believed, and you are now here today because God chose you. Now, did you know this before? I think this is the best news, you know, that God chose you. We did not choose Him. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, He included us when God's great plan of adopting sinners out of the midst of the evil and the corruption, to adopt them, take them out of it. What is an adoption? Those of our infertile couples understand this very well. You want a child, but you can't have, but there are others who have and they don't want, and you come to a barter and say, can I have your child? They say, yes, if you give me so much money, and then the child becomes yours, but you go to the right legal procedure, and that child has a legal paper made that this child from this day is adopted as your child. Change the name to your name, and that child becomes legally yours. Now, how did we become Christians? It says here, verse 5, God predestinated you to be adopted, to be a child of God by Jesus Christ. You say, what is the meaning of predestinated? A deep word, very mysterious, yet not very mysterious. It simply says that when God planned His great kingdom to be filled with believers who will acknowledge Him and submit to Him and believe in Him, He included you. Amazing, predestinated, foreordained, before you knew anything, before the foundation of the world, when there was no earth, no solar system, God already had a plan. Right, amazing. That you should be adopted, become legally a child of God, to be entitled to all the blessings and privileges of a child of God, to be an heir of God. Are you an heir of anything? How some of us wish we had very rich parents, right? If my father had billions of millions, how nice it would be, and I'm an heir. Now, don't have to wish those things because they are fiction. But here is reality, fact. God, with all His riches, wills that you be adopted into His family. That's why you're sitting here, because you are a child of God, unless you don't believe, unless you are not a believer and you just come here to inquire with curiosity. I say, even then, let me tell you this. If you have not believed, consider tonight. The gospel is free. Salvation is free. You cannot buy it. You cannot work for it. You just come and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I want to be your child. And immediately the Holy Spirit will come to you. And you will be brought to the saving grace at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize that Jesus, Son of God, is my Savior. He came for me. He died for me. His blood is able to wash me from all my sins. Consider that, dear friends. If there is anyone who has never, never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight is the night of opportunity. Read on. According to the good pleasure of His will. Why did God save you? Why did God save Saul, who was persecuting and killing Christians? Why? Answer is here. It was good pleasure of His will. God willed it just because He loved you. There is no other reason. He didn't say, see that, hey, this one is special, better than other people, I think I'll take him in. Not at all. We were all enemies, sinners, far from God, aliens. God came and drew us to Himself simply because it was the pleasure of His will. Where does it say so? Verse 5. Right? The good pleasure of His will. And this is to the praise of the glory of His grace, verse 6, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, that in Jesus Christ, you will notice in this passage we are reading, all the goodness and the blessing that we receive from God is in Jesus Christ. God has sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ. Today you go to any civilized society and ask them, do you believe in God? Most people will say yes. But define it and say, do you believe in the God, Jesus Christ? Then there is a change of faith. And many of them will say, no, my God is different. So this is the God we are talking about. We got to be specific tonight. We are here because we believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ, that He loved us and gave Himself for us. Right? Now, we have considered that God chose us. Now verse 7 tells us God did another thing for us. Verse 7 says, In whom is who? Who is the whom? In Christ. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Praise the Lord. The second act of God after He chose you is He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you, to redeem you. What is to redeem? You know what is a pawn shop? You need money, you take your wedding ring, it's worth 10,000, you put there and say, look, I want some money, they give you 5,000. And a month later you say, I want to have it back, and you go and redeem. You got to pay money, but you don't pay 5,000. You pay what? Maybe 6,000 to get back your ring. And you pay Him that money to redeem. God redeemed us, purchased us with a price. What was that price? Do you know? There is nothing that can buy you back to God except the blood of Jesus. That is the price. And that price is priceless. Oh, when you think of this, oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me back to the fold. This is marvelous grace of God. He did it simply because He loved you. And Jesus died on the cross, bled His blood, simply because He wants to save you. And for that reason, we can never thank Him enough. And as I said, the greatest thing that ever happened to you is that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that tonight, dear friends. And the second best thing which happened to me and to you is, I hope, that you accept the call to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring other people to know Him, that they will receive everlasting life because of you. Can you do it? That is the second best thing you can ever do. Now let's read on. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. Now we have to jump because my time is running too fast. Verse 11. Now there's something which you have been waiting for. That is the inheritance. Wow, what is the inheritance waiting for me? Do you have an inheritance? Here it is. Verse 11. In whom, meaning in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. Something that is waiting for you. Something that is so precious, valuable, priceless, and only reserved for you. And you alone, you will receive that inheritance. What is it? Let's read on. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now this inheritance is yet future, as all inheritances are, future. It's until you arrive at the place. And that inheritance is the heavenly kingdom up there. Today, you know what unbelievers say? They make fun of it. He say, oh, you have a pie in the sky. No, dear friends, listen to what Jesus says. Let the inheritance. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't doubt. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare the place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself there, that you may have your inheritance. What is the inheritance? The place in the prepared place for prepared people. Are you one of the prepared people? Oh, dear friends, come to Jesus, put your faith in Him, trust in Him every day, and look forward to the day when He will receive you. So when you have that assurance, you know, you go to bed every night happy, not worried. When I went to medical school, one of the students, very smart one, he wrote on the board to all the students to read, he says, bed is the most dangerous place on earth because most people die in it. Ah, I say, but every night you go to bed to sleep, isn't it? Oh, yes. Although it states a truth, but the conclusion of that truth is very wrong. It's not the dangerous place. It's a place you got to go every night to recoup, to recover from the day's stress and labor, and so that you have another fresh body to begin next day. But it is a place that you will have to lie down one day, and before you take off, there is a place you go. But where do you go? In Christ Jesus, we will all depart from this earth one day to receive our inheritance. And whether you go or Jesus comes, the end result of your faith in Christ is you receive your inheritance. What does it matter then if on earth you have nothing? No one to leave you a legacy. No one to give you some big fat something in His will for you. Are you worried? No. Alright, the last thing that God did for you was in verse 13. Whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of His glory, you have a down payment, a guarantee. Calls here the earnest of your inheritance. What did God do for you? Chose you, redeemed you, sealed you when you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I said, dear friends, the best thing is to receive Jesus. Second best thing I want to suggest to some of you here to think. If all your life you have never done anything for the Lord Jesus, to introduce souls still in darkness, why not consider what the Lord can do through you? I will now show you what the Lord has done for me by His grace in my life, and I have some pictures, some of them never shown before. Yes, some of you have sat through my footprints, but this is a preview of the footprints coming out next year.